What's up, little psychos? I'm Investigator Slater, host of the Psychopedia podcast. Psychopedia is a true crime podcast delivering raw, real, and absolutely gripping episodes every single week. I dig deep to uncover fascinating details of heinous true crime cases while exploring criminology and psychology theories. I take you into the absolute darkest corners of the human psyche, my favorite territory, and present cases like you've never heard them before. Follow and listen to Psychopedia everywhere you get your podcasts.
Welcome into another episode of the Leftovers Podcast. Derek Kramer.
Frank Uckery.
And this is the podcast where we always bring in the rookies and we treat them nicely. We don't haze them, Frank. It's not in our code. Because I say this because John Simon, the son of Howard Simon, and made his debut yesterday on Sports Talk Saturday because I found him in a panic. I'm like, I need someone to run the board. Thanks, John. John, I pay you with a favor of being able to talk more into a microphone today here on the Leftovers Podcast. Welcome.
Thank you, Mr. Kramer. You know what? You gave me flack for that yesterday.
You gotta stop calling it's me a lot, Mr. Man.
I call people younger than me Mr. Kramer. So don't take it as a thing of you being an elder or anything like that. It's a sign of respect. It's a sign of my gratitude for you letting me on to your podcast today.
Not
in time, I'll probably lose respect.
It's also it's going to happen here, probably.
It's happening right
here
now
on the podcast.
Don't worry, it's happening
also
right now.
Because of my insecurity of actually being older. So there's that too. So I hate being old. Don't get old. That's life lesson one for you. Life lesson two, expect everything and nothing all at once. Just like a catch in the NFL. All right, Frank. You decided to go ahead and mess with me by saying, oh, I've got something we're going to talk about. Okay, what is it so I can get ready for it? No, I'm not going to tell you. Why not? A, B, you're a jerk. C, yeah, this is usual stuff there.
Yeah. Well, yes, I am a jerk. But the reason is you guys were talking about Erik Karlsson.
Yes.
That's been the big talk in hockey recently is really it's not if Erik Karlsson is getting traded, it's when.
The latest report was from Tampa
There's still nothing imminent, but they seem to be the destination.
Yes.
That seems to be the target for Erik Karlsson. And it got to a point earlier this week where it felt like it was going to happen.
There was almost
any minute.
A trade call made.
There was, yes. And it also seemed like that the Rangers were in on it too as a third team to make it a three-team trade. Tampa probably having to use the Rangers to shed salary so they could take on Erik Karlsson and then re-sign him.
Right.
Because it seems like no matter who Erik Karlsson gets traded to, he's going to also re-sign with that team.
Right.
He's not getting traded to a team where he's going to play for 1 year and then walk in free agency. He's going to go to a team that he's going to re-sign with.
That's a good point.
So? I think you brought this up on Sports Talk Saturday, yesterday, with Nate.
I say a lot of things.
You do say a lot of things. You do say a lot of things, but this has been proven. But you had said Ottawa's not going to get what they want for Karlsson because...
Oh, right. I guaranteed that they're going to get less than we got for Ryan O'Reilly.
Yes.
Oh, I did say that.
He did say that. But you had also mentioned, I think, Sergachev for Karlsson 1-for-1.
I had mentioned that because Joe had brought that up as a who says no kind of thing.
Right.
And the answer was Ottawa. So I brought it up to Nate.
So I'm bringing this up to you.
Okay.
It's funny how that cycle works.
Yeah, really.
It's like, wow, that was a good point. I want to reflect it back to someone else. Yeah. Or I want to pass it on to someone else.
I want to reflect it back to you with this. What if the Sabres go to Ottawa with this? Risto for Karlsson 1-for-1.
Who says no? Ottawa.
You had mentioned they would want a guy who would have to take his place in the lineup. So another defenseman, probably right-handed, who's got term on his deal who's going to cost less.
So you're talking about in the scenario of the Sens happen to get Sergachev in a deal for Karlsson.
No. I'd say the Sabres make an offer to Ottawa because we know that they're not going to get what they want. We know that that's going to happen. They're going to get less for Carlson than what they should get.
Yes.
But for the
saying that whatever trade package they get from Tampa Bay, it involves Mikhail Sergachev. This is what you're saying.
I think it's very likely that, I mean, if you look at Carlson and Tampa, I think it's very likely Sergachev's going to be involved in that trade. I think it's very
likely. Ottawa's going to want a very controlled term and money.
So what I'm saying is, let's say the Sabres come up, Botchel makes a call to Dorian and comes up with an alternate option for a Carlson trade, and that's Ristolainen.
Depends how many years
Ristolainen's got 4 years left on his deal at 5.4.
I still say that they would say no.
I would assume
they shut it down because at their peaks, I think they're equals, and Ottawa gets 5 years of cost control on Sergachev.
But that's let's say the Sabres are also maybe give up one of those first round picks that they have, those three, with the contingent that Carlson also signs.
Honestly, I'm okay with
it. I wanted to bring that up as a potential
Ottawa definitely
option.
Says no.
Okay.
I don't even think it's a good move for either side, and especially Ottawa.
That's why I say, like, what if it's also contingent on Carlson re-signing as well?
I would still say, well, the reason I think it's a bad trade for Ottawa is if the main piece that they're getting back is Rasmus Ristolainen, and they have 4 years left of that, as you mentioned, the one thing that I would say right away is they're going to be in a rebuild. That's for certain. And do they really want to have one of their key, you know, leaders going forward in the rebuild be a guy who's already been doing that for the last 4 or 5 seasons? Mm-hmm. It's a guy who's got the same mindset as Ryan O'Reilly, where I've gotten used to losing, and frankly, I'm tired of it. And not that Rasmus Ristolainen would have any say in where he goes and if he goes, if the Sabres offered him in a trade, but I just don't think that that's something that Ottawa particularly want. I think that Sergachev would definitely be, you know, the young defenseman that they would want coming back in a package for Erik Karlsson.
Oh, I agree. I brought it up as, do you think, as like that? Could the Sabres make this as an option?
Could the Sabres jump in as that Rangers team?
I think he would. They would be best.
No, not even as a third team.
So as a separate deal after watching it all go down.
As seeing how it's going down.
Pierre Dorion
could be another offer.
Pierre Dorion may be one of the derp GMs of the Canadian teams right now, but he's not that stupid.
About that?
I can't confidently answer that.
Yeah,
but I'm just going to posit the theory that he can't be that stupid. I mean, he did trade a top prospect for Alex Burrows, but I digress. I think that really, I don't even know if I can confidently answer that Mikhail Sergachev goes into a deal with Tampa Bay.
It's really tough for them to bring him back whenever that happens.
Tampa wants Erik Karlsson. There is no doubt about this. Yep. However, Tampa also gets to negotiate from a different perspective here. They're Carlson's favorite. That is a big deal. Mm-hmm. They know that if Carlson hits unrestricted free agency, they're at the top of his list. They get to negotiate from a point of power, which is why I said on Sports Talk Saturday that I suspect the Sabres got more for Ryan O'Reilly than the Senators could for Erik Karlsson. That is the reason alone. Tampa Bay is negotiating out of a point of power. If they're going to get a great return, strangely enough, it's got to be with another team, and it's probably got to be Vegas.
Yeah.
And Vegas,
or just any team that has a ton of cap space.
And Vegas has to know, negotiating this deal, that they're going to get him to sign long-term. Otherwise, you're not getting Glass, you're not getting Brännström, you're not getting one of those first-round picks from them right away. There might be a condition, or it might be a 2020.
Right.
If they're paying for a rental, they're going to get a reduced cost.
Which hurts both sides.
Pierre Dorion. This might, like, since there's nothing imminent, I don't know if he gets traded during the summer. This might be a Matt Duchene trade that happens in season.
Okay.
But Pierre Dorion has to at least get something for him. He knows this because otherwise he's out on his rear end. Gerard Gallant style firing. Get in a cab.
Just get in a cab and leave.
And there's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. Dorion has no choice. He might Garth Snow this thing, where he doesn't get everything he wanted for what he was going to get, you know, trading for him. Because, you know, Garth Snow, the Thomas Vanek trade, always will stick out in my mind as one of the biggest derps. And that's coming from the guy who signed Rick DiPietro, what, 15 years?
Yep.
Yeah.
So, and that is the first thing that I always think of as his biggest mistake, is trying to flip Thomas Vanek and only getting a second-round pick after he paid a first and a serviceable, at the time, Matt Molson.
Yeah, that's true.
I suspect Dorion may only get an underwhelming return. However, because Eugene Melnyk is a snake and a penny pincher, he might keep him around as long as he gets something for Carlson.
Is waiting around, is keeping him around and waiting to get something better than running the chance of, one, having an even more disastrous situation in their locker room than last season, having Carlson come back for the beginning of the year. Is keeping him worth that trouble for them?
It's not. No.
It's really not. And
the biggest thing is, you mentioned it, the later this goes on, the worse the deal gets for Ottawa.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, oh, clearly.
Yeah, yeah.
Because every moment that it goes closer to the deadline, every day that passes, Ottawa gets less.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that there was almost a trade call and it didn't happen,
supposedly,
that means that disaster has struck on a trade. Someone's not happy.
Supposedly, that was the Rangers.
And if you can't get a third team to help Tampa Bay out here, what are you going to do there?
Yeah.
Now, Vegas enters the situation, and a lot of talk has been, what if they can eat the Bobby Ryan contract? Well, if they have to eat the Bobby Ryan contract, they're going to inherently give up less because that's part of accepting the deal.
Right.
Vegas
that's,
is going to.
That's part of their payment.
If Vegas becomes that third team.
No, and, not Vegas. Like, I'm thinking if Vegas is the primary team. They don't need a third team. In here.
So they get. They so Vegas gets Carlson and Ryan.
Yes. And okay. That's part of their payment to go back to Ottawa is sweet, sweet cap relief, which you saw them do when Pittsburgh traded for Derek Brassard.
Yeah.
Another Ottawa ship
and
off.
But the funny thing is, the only reason that Vegas was involved in that trade was because Melnyk is a penny pincher and didn't want to retain salary on Brassard.
But again, Vegas now, they still have that cap. They joined in because they had the cap space to do it.
Yes.
Now.
And they got something out of it.
And
too.
They get something out of it. Now Vegas can negotiate
can do the same
from
thing.
The strength of power, right. Not even needing to be the third team. They can be the team and they can say, hey, we're not going to give you as much, but we'll take that Bobby Ryan contract because we can afford it.
Right.
Not only did they not pay James Neal or David Perron, and I think that was a good move, they can add a player who could fit into their top six.
They already added Paul Stastny.
They added Paul Stastny. So they could add a player into their top six.
They're likely going to.
In Bobby Ryan.
Yep.
Even though he has his struggles, he's still a top six player. And then you get Erik Karlsson.
Mm-hmm.
But if I'm Vegas and I'm paying by taking the Bobby Ryan contract, you're not getting an elite prospect for that.
Vegas also re-signed Colin Miller to a very team-friendly contract.
And Colin Miller would be possibly one of the things they would ship back instead.
I don't think so. I mean, considering they just re-signed him, I don't think he'd be a guy that they would trade. Remember, I said they just re-signed him.
I know, but they're not handing an elite prospect out, and I don't even know if they want to hand out Shea Theodore. Obviously, you have to give up something to get something, but Vegas has picks and oodles still.
Would they also be giving up less, maybe? Again, this comes back to, though, is Carlson definitely signing an extension with Vegas if they do that trade? Because if they're eating the Bobby Ryan contract and he's not guaranteeing signing an extension, that's even, like, Ottawa gets a bag
first.
Of pucks and, yeah, like you said, a conditional first-round pick at best in that trade.
Yeah, or they're punting it to 2020.
Right.
So, again, every day, every week that passes and this deal is not done, Ottawa hurts.
Right.
And as a Sabres fan, you just go ahead and, like, you just go, Mr. Burns, all about this. Excellent. Ottawa's situation is so bad at this point that I'm actually feeling bad. And I said that on Saturday, and Nate was like, how could you feel bad after what they did to us in the runs through the Eastern Conference?
Right. The Chris Neal days,
the
Lindy
days,
Ruff versus
Neal
Brian
Hayes.
Murray. Those were interesting times.
How could I feel bad? Well, because Anaheim served us the justice that we needed, ultimately. The first year we made it to the Eastern Conference Finals, we upended them. They just evened it up on us, and then Anaheim shut them down.
Yeah. That's true.
So I kind of feel bad for the fans. Strictly the fans.
You feel bad for the fans more.
Yeah, because not only do they have a penny pincher who's been threatening to move their team and isn't doing anything to help them, and they're going to ship off their best player, and they're a disaster outside of the ice. Oh, and there was a feud between girlfriends of teammates,
mm-hmm.
and their assistant GM has harassment trials in Buffalo.
How do you not feel bad?
And I think the two fan bases, as in Buffalo and Ottawa, could also bond over the fact that they're seeing the Toronto Maple Leafs become the team of the league right before their eyes. Yes, and that's just not a that's just not fun for all parties.
That pisses off Ottawa a lot more, though.
They got to share the whole province with those fans.
Yeah. We at least have a border.
Yeah.
Woot.
Yeah.
Then again, we have to deal with Boston, as I ever in my eyes.
It is just funny, though, when you talk about the cross trade, because when was the last time you saw an NHL player really have this much leverage while trying to move from teams? I mean, was it O'Reilly with Colorado? I would say Carlson has much more than he did. I mean, he's, I feel like, to compare it to something else going on right now, it's, I feel like Carlson is in the same situation as Kawhi Leonard. He has complete control over where he wants to go, and there's only a few teams that really have what can make that deal happen.
Tampa Bay doesn't even have what what Ottawa needs.
But he's stated that he wants to be there.
That, I said that wrong. Tampa Bay doesn't even have the proper cap space to make this happen yet.
Yes.
They need a team to jump in and help them.
That's why Tampa needs the third team, because they need a team to take on Ryan Callahan's contract.
Yes.
It's definitely got to be Callahan.
But now Tampa doesn't even have a first-round pick
this year.
No, they wouldn't.
Yeah, It's still a conditional first.
But because the conditions haven't been met, the pick cannot be traded.
Who would that pick be going to? Is it with New York? Is it from the McDonough trade? Okay, and see, they just locked him up for a long time, too.
Yeah, so, and again, you cannot trade a conditional pick until the conditions are met. So, Tampa Bay does not have a 2019 pick in the first round to work with here. Getting a deal done with the Lightning would require a lot of maneuvering from Steve Yzerman. And if a team, say the Rangers, is not happy with their return, trade's not getting done.
Yeah.
Which leaves Vegas as the most realistic option. Dallas was in there. Dallas doesn't have necessarily the requisite cap space either. Who are the other teams that were in on this? I can't remember the original report. Obviously, all 30 other NHL teams would love to have Erik Karlsson, but not everyone has the means to do it. Buffalo doesn't necessarily have the means to do it.
So,
or they're not necessarily willing to go ahead and give up all their futures to go ahead and do this.
So as of right now, Tampa does still have their first round pick for next year. It only goes to the Rangers if they win the cup next year.
And
because
again,
the condition, the original trade was McDonough and JT Miller goes to Tampa for Vladimir Mesikov, Brett Howden, another prospect, Libor Hajek, a 2018 first that was a guaranteed, and then a 2019 conditional second that becomes a first should Tampa win the cup within the next 2 years. But now, since they didn't win the cup this year, it's gotta be next year.
But I'm Ottawa, I can't get that pick because
you don't know
if they win it or not. And if they win it, well, the pick that they just traded to you has to go to New York. Wait, what? So I don't think that's legal in the rules.
No, so that means
Maybe that's why the Rangers are involved.
Maybe.
But
maybe
then they're losing a possible first-round pick and they're eating salary from Tampa Bay. So maybe that's the reason why they pulled out.
Maybe that's the reason they pulled out. Right. Or maybe they didn't like...
If they're looking at a diminished return on their original trade, I'm not liking that either.
Yeah.
The only way I see the Rangers being involved in this too is they're gonna get a guy that has salary like a Ryan Callahan back to the Rangers. And also they're gonna get a good player out of it as well. Maybe the player that was being involved going to the Rangers, they didn't want that player.
But Steve Yzerman,
whether that's a prospect or a roster player.
Now Steve Yzerman is proving to be one of the more shrewd GMs in this league. The problem that is coming here now is, as a general manager, you want to go get Erik Karlsson and try to make that cup run. But he also still has to make sure that there's a long-term future in Tampa Bay. Because that's how you get axed.
That's very true.
If the Lightning go ahead and sell all their pieces here, what do they have left down the pipeline? And yes, they are a young, for the most part, and talented team. But
they still got some good prospects.
But that's the thing. You still want to have some good prospects.
Yeah.
If they bring in Karlsson and they re-sign him after, you know, he signs an extension right away, you know, between him, Hedman, Stamkos having a lot of years left on his deal, and their impending, you know, they have to re-sign Kucherov after next season too. That four right there, that's going to put you in a very similar Chicago Blackhawks situation.
That's very good.
Where half of your cap space is tied into four players.
Yep.
And then also, too, 2 years from now, they got to re-sign Vasilevsky.
Right. And all that is with no Stanley Cups either. They at least had three Stanley Cups to say, well, we did this. This is why we're in this situation now. And they're still managing somehow. Well, they'll be back in the playoffs in what seems like another season.
So if you want to look at the young guys they got, obviously, Sergachev's 20. Vasilevsky's 23.
Now, if you get Carlson, that means you're losing probably Sergachev.
Probably. You still got, you have Braden Point, who's 22. And then in the pipeline, you got Calfoot, who's a really good prospect. Boris Kachuk, 20 years old. Taylor Radish, 20 years old. Some interesting guys, too. You got Dennis Yan, who's 20. Anthony Cirelli, who was playing with the team last year, he's 20. Eric Cernak's 21. And that's just guys who they've signed. And then you got guys who they haven't signed yet. Gabriel Frotier was the first pick they had in the last draft. He was in the second round. After that, it's really not as much.
Yeah,
I named a few players right there. And if you're getting Erik Karlsson, more likely you're going to have to trade one or two of them as well.
Again,
I think the one that's going to be brought out the most.
As an organization, you don't want to have to continue to empty the pipeline here.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
That's where the risk comes in, and that's where I think Tampa's kind of dragging their feet, because again, they have that power of negotiation, saying, "Hey, if he hits unrestricted free agency, you get nothing, and we get him for free." Well, not free, it costs money, but we don't have to give up anything else.
Right, and that's what they had to do already with the Rangers last year. I think what it really comes down to is they have to take a look at the roster and realize if they don't want to throw away a bunch of stuff for Carlson this year, if they think that they can still compete this year, they could still win a Stanley Cup team right now. Yes, of course. But they need to really sit there and realize, like, do we need to make this trade in order to win a cup? No. So what damage does it do to wait another 9, 10 months and see if Carlson makes it to unrestricted free agency, like you said, and that's when they can get him for free? You know, it's really up to Tampa Bay to make the decision, because they can either push the trade or they can sit and wait and hope that they can get him an unrestricted free agency, because like you said, it sounds like that's the place where he wants to play.
Exactly, and that's where the strength comes in, and that's where the power that Carlson holds is coming to play. And again, as Vegas, you have your doubts. As Tampa, you have a lack of assets or willingness to depart with them. That would make a deal difficult. And this all comes back to, holy crap, I really think Ottawa's going to get less for Carlson.
They're so good.
Than the Sabres might for a guy who is at the very, like, you know, who's pretty much a second line center who can play some first line minutes.
And we're not even sure what his role is going to be in the NHL in 2 to 3 seasons, the way that the league and the style of play is moving.
Exactly. So, do you want to know the worst part for Ottawa? The worst part about all of this? The player that they gave up a bunch of prospects and a first-round pick that is not lottery protected, and they're going to be poop. Matt Duchesne's contract runs out after next year, if I'm not mistaken.
He's a free agent next year as well.
That means, could you imagine not getting a deal done for Matt Duchesne?
He walks,
and the Avalanche win the lottery with the Senators pick.
Oh my God. I didn't
forget the Sabres tanks, man. That would be the worst thing ever to happen to a hockey fan.
Yeah.
That would be tough.
Because then you'd see Duchesne walk, Carlson possibly walk for nothing, And you don't get Jack Hughes? The lull fest that would happen would be astronomical. The NHL might even step in and go, Eugene Melnyk, you might have to leave, dude.
I was going to say, the fans might be okay with just sending the team off, you know, to wherever. Yeah. To Quebec, Hamilton.
Seattle, Hamilton, do whatever. Just send them away.
Get them out of here.
Houston.
That would be tough.
You'd have a problem. Ta-da.
Hey, at least they got Brady Tkachuk. That's the one thing I guess they can be happy about. He was a prized commodity here.
He was a prized commodity here. Part of it was his love for the Bills and Bills Mafia and embracing playing for Team USA in Buffalo.
Well, all that stuff's important, especially the loving of the football team.
They passed on Philip
Zadina. Probably,
I mean, to be fair, they also weren't the only team, too.
I know, but they did it
two other, two. I know.
They could have been gift wrapped.
Could have been.
And they chose not to. And then another team chose not to. And Detroit really got something surprising. But that's the worst part about all this for Ottawa is that their best player in 2 years just might be strictly Brady Tkachuk and
Mark
Stone. And then...
they still got to re-sign him.
Oh.
He's going to arbitration.
Ooh.
Which,
oh, God, could you imagine the penny pincher saying no, too big of a contract? Which could happen. Mark Stone's good.
I think what's going to happen... Okay, if you want to go into that now, Mark
We're
Stone
just going
in
full disaster mode for Ottawa. Yeah. I'm penning this up like it's worse than a freaking movie right now. Like, you watch those
more likely,
movies that you just can't, Mark's, like, oh, God,
here's
man,
the thing.
I can't watch anymore. This is worse than that.
It's very likely Mark Stone will win his arbitration case and get a one-year deal worth, like...
Ooh, and that would get him to unrestricted free agency, wouldn't
he? He'd be a UFA next year,
like,
as well.
Like Duchesne.
Like Duchesne.
Like Carlson.
It's a good way to get out of that situation. Sign yourself to a one-year deal, endure the pain for one season, and then
get
butt out of there.
Or even better, play in that contract year and get a big raise in free agency.
Oh, yeah. He's going to get a big raise. Oh,
he's going to get a big raise, but if you play out of your mind with a one-year deal, that's a
he
great
could
way
just
to bet
have
on
the
yourself.
Same season he had last year.
And that's a great way to bet on yourself.
He could just have the same year.
He's consistent enough. Duchesne is on his team.
Yeah. I mean, Mark Stone's such a good player.
And, oh, God, if Ottawa... If Mark Stone also is part of this exodus, Ottawa's a franchise team. Like, not Vegas franchise. I'm talking, like...
It's like they're an expansion team all over again.
I'm talking about Columbus Blue Jackets, Atlanta Thrashers expansion team.
Jeez.
Bad. That's how bad they'll be. Craig Anderson
so
has exited.
Still,
but
God. So they'll still be better than their own expansion year in San Jose's?
Yes.
You sure?
No. Well, San Jose is yes. It's really hard to lose that many games.
Because Craig Anderson also wants out.
Craig Anderson also exited God mode. It doesn't matter what he wants. That man was, over the last 5 years, stopping everything. Last year, hit a brick wall. It was going to happen eventually. But Craig Anderson was the reason Ottawa would make the playoffs.
He took them all the way to the conference finals just a year ago.
It was him and Carlson a year ago. It was the Ottawa Senators were him and Eric Carlson. Oh, and then like the occasional timely goals from Kyle Turris, who is also gone, and Bobby Ryan. That was it. That was what Ottawa was.
Yeah.
Oh, and the trap, which is garbage if you don't have speed to use the trap.
Yep.
Ottawa's a nightmare. No matter what has happened with the Buffalo Sabres, you cannot go ahead and tell the Sens that your team is worse off. It's
true.
Look, man, we had two last place finishes in the last 5 years.
Three in the last five.
Dude,
we're still in a better position than
we are in a far better position than a team that a year ago made the Eastern Conference Finals and was one goal away
one
from winning
goal.
It and getting to the Stanley Cup. We are in a better place than that team.
That really is something else. How
it's sad.
That's how I feel bad. When you have a team that finished last three times in the last 5 years in a better state than a team that almost made the Stanley Cup a whole year ago. If you would have told me this would have been what happened a year ago with Ottawa, I would have just been like, no, they're like the plucky little underdog. They're going to get better. And no. Oh, and they added Matt Duchesne too? Dang. All right, cool. No.
No.
Good God. They might challenge for what Colorado did last a couple years back with 48 points.
Oh, my. That would be, and you know what's funny is they fell from being the top team in the West the year before. They were the number one seed, but for some reason decided to lose in the first round, and then went 2 years from that.
It was McKinnon's rookie year.
Yeah.
That was a fun team because
a fun team.
What was it? It was McKinnon.
McKinnon's, Paul Stastny.
They had O'Reilly too, and Duchesne.
Yeah.
That was a loaded five forwards there.
Yeah. Tyson Berry.
They had Eric Johnson
wasn't bad.
Semyon Varlamov had a great
year.
Well.
He had a great year. That was Patrick Wall's first season as head coach.
And then he destroyed the team.
Yeah.
And then he got fired. Yeah. No, he didn't get fired. He quit.
He quit.
Because he had a pissing match with his best defenseman.
Yeah.
What a head case.
Sakic was their GM, too.
Yeah.
He's not there anymore, is he?
No, he's there.
Sackett's he's still there. He survived. Yeah. Okay, good for him.
In fact,
despite his best efforts, he got get fired.
He got all the praise for the Matthew Shane trade.
You want to know why?
Because of what he got.
Ottawa paid a lot for it.
Yeah.
And as we said, they're going to end up getting the first overall pick for it. Yeah. So it all worked out.
And Colorado doesn't even have to be bad and can get the first overall pick this coming year.
Mm-hmm.
And remember, all Ottawa had to do was go ahead and say, you know what, maybe we shouldn't take Brady Tkachuk here. That's it. That's all they needed to do. And they didn't. Man, that is depressing. I think I need a shower. Oh, my God.
That's, yeah. I mean, maybe, like, going back to how many people just prized Brady Tkachuk. I mean, well, clearly Montreal didn't like him enough. But maybe they heard the Buffalo fans liked him so much that it was just too much. They said, no, we got to take this kid so Buffalo doesn't have him. And we'll defer our possible first overall pick to next year.
Dude, it's just if Ottawa thinks they're going anywhere this year, Pierre Dorion needs to be fired on the spot.
It is nice to think that the Sabres definitely won't finish in last place in their division this year.
Oh, dude, they may not even finish as the third worst team in their division. Detroit's in a rebuild, but Detroit's they're also pretending that they can make the playoffs. Montreal's pretending that they can make the playoffs
because they have
Carey Price. And now what happened with Shea Weber, he's going to be out until at least mid-December, possibly to late December.
January, yeah.
And if you don't have him to at least help out a little bit, what the hell does Montreal have other than, what, Jonathan Drouin and a Max Pacioretty that you're definitely dealing at the deadline?
Yep.
Carey Price has to play out of his mind for them to be average.
I've been thinking about it.
Ottawa's going to challenge for only 48 points this season. The Sabres are comfortably locked into fifth or fourth in the division, depending on how well they play and how well Florida plays.
Right, and I was going to say, because I was thinking about this last week, this upcoming season, could this be the most unbalanced division? I mean, you look at the two, maybe three teams at the top, Toronto and Tampa Bay.
And Boston. And Boston. Still strong.
Those are three of the best teams in the conference. Those could all be in the top seven.
In the league next season. And then
they're your division locks.
Your division locks. Yeah.
Seeding will be different, but that's what they're playing for. Then there's a clear number four in Florida.
Right.
Which missed the playoffs.
Who's a tweener team, we'll
which
say.
Which just missed the playoffs last year. And then there's Buffalo. And then there's Detroit, Montreal, Ottawa. And they are clearly basement teams.
Right.
The thing is, though, Tampa, Toronto, and Boston are all the three best teams in the East.
Yes.
Yeah, which is weird because after those three, the next five teams that would make the playoffs from the Eastern Conference might all be from the Metropolitan Division.
And even that's not a guarantee. Let's look at the Metropolitan.
The Metro is
Pittsburgh, Washington. Those are probably
Those are your top two strong teams.
And I would probably lock them in that division. Okay. Through division seeding, I would lock them in.
New Jersey's
the Islanders
made
got
some,
worse.
Yeah, the Islanders are probably going to finish last.
We're talking about how bad Ottawa's
offseason's
been.
Then you've got Carolina.
This is even worse.
Yeah.
Then you've got Carolina.
The Rangers are in a rebuild.
Yes.
So then that leaves
the two
Jersey
New York teams. The
and
two
Columbus.
New York teams.
And Columbus.
Yeah.
Columbus is probably going to make the playoffs. Based on
Columbus could be
structure.
That third. You know, the thing that's only interesting really about the Metro is the top five can just be anything. Really.
I wouldn't even say anything. I would still say
it
Pittsburgh
can be,
and Washington are at least guaranteed.
With Pittsburgh, Washington more likely being at the top than because you got those, and then you mentioned Columbus, New Jersey, and Philly. Those are your next three.
Say two of those teams underwhelmed from last year.
Which probably would be Philly and Jersey.
Reasonable to ask. The Sabres and Florida might find a way to squeak into a playoff spot.
Yeah.
If things go right for the Sabres, yeah, absolutely.
They'd have to play well. That's all it is.
Things have to go well for them, and you got to assume that, you know, Ottawa, Detroit, Montreal are going to finish to be those bottom three, and the Rangers and Islanders are going to be those bottom two. And then and then you have Carolina as well.
All right. So speaking of Buffalo, it's a question that's always been on my mind at this point. John, do you think there's one more move left in Buffalo? Because they have at least what I would call 10 NHL defensemen on their roster.
Oh, there's a lot of defensemen.
And they still probably could use someone in their top six.
Correct.
Do you think there's another move left in them, or do you think it might be like possibly an in-season kind of thing?
It might have to wait to in-season, solely because I don't think that there's anything that's left out there that's really to be desired for what they have to give up right now. I mean, unless we said earlier, unless they're willing to move Ristolainen for, you know, a good piece that can fill into that top six role.
Give me that top line winger there.
Right. Other than that, I really don't think that there's anything that they have to do. Like we said, they're a maybe for the playoffs. Throw the team out there that they have right now and see what they can do to compete. If there's an injury, if someone, you know, doesn't play up to their expectations, you know, maybe then the move needs to be made in the season. But, you know, clearly defense was the problem last year, and not everyone that is an NHL defenseman out of those 10 is necessarily a lock to have a good season next year. So I think there could be a trade that still needs to be made, but I would expect it to not happen until maybe a month or two into the 2018-19 year.
I could suspect that if they don't get enough listeners, Nathan Beaulieu might get waived after the preseason.
I do think Beaulieu is going to get waived.
I think if they're going to try to trade him, get him on a pick for a cheap and send him to another team just so that they can at least get something back for him. Otherwise, he's a candidate to get waived.
Yeah, he realistically could be a bottom pairing, you know, seventh defenseman for a lot of teams out there, and he's unfortunately just found himself in a large crop of defensemen in Buffalo.
Yeah, because if Bogosian can stay healthy and play at least 50 games, that's not a hard ask, is it?
For Zach Bogosian, I think anything's a hard ask.
Jake McCabe had an injury-riddled year, but he plays better than what he showed last year.
Yeah.
And there were two injuries he had to deal with.
And with this team, I think he can be above average for what he is.
He'd be a second pairing defenseman.
I think that's what I would
even think of doing is possibly put a top pairing of Dahlin Scandella and then give Ristolainen and McCabe.
Yes.
Because Dahlin, despite being a left shot, tends to play the right side.
Yeah, he tends to go to the right side a lot.
And
more.
I think the best defenseman for him to play with would be Scandella. I think he provides the best veteran presence that he needs.
A veteran guy who can...
who has the stay-at-home tendency.
Who can, so Dahlin can get aggressive. Which will allow him to just go. Yeah.
It would allow him to fly. Yeah. Then you've got a pair of balanced players in Ristolainen and McCabe.
Yeah.
And Ristolainen...
and this would be a reduced minutes Ristolainen.
A reduced minutes Ristolainen means a more effective Ristolainen.
Yeah. They're both
although if you're going that route, you're probably starting Ristolainen and McCabe out as your top pairing.
Probably to start off the season. Yes.
You got it. Because they're going to have to watch Dahlin's minutes.
Yes. I agree with that.
Early on.
But I'm talking of the season.
But oh yeah, well, as the season goes, this is the same thing with Casey Mittelstadt.
And then you still have three more guys to plug into holes here. Casey Nelson, Brendan Gooley,
you got those
Bogosian.
Two. You got Bogosian, you got Matt Hunwick.
Hunwick's like, a 7-8.
Hunwick would be yours. Right, but you're gonna have to find, you know, if you're planning on keeping him, which it probably will, is he gonna be on the team? Is he good if he's an 8? What's the real point in keeping him up then?
You send him to Rochester and he becomes the call-up
guy. Probably wave him to Rochester, yeah.
He becomes the Justin Falk.
Who you can call up if there's an injury, and you don't want to go ahead and send Lawrence Pilut up only for two games.
Right, because he's full year in Rochester.
Because then you got guys like Pilut and Hickey and Borgen.
That's what I would say.
All going to be in Rochester.
That's what Zach Redmond's role is, and that would be what Matt Hunwick's role is.
That's fair.
Is that guy that if there's an injury for a couple of games to a defender, you send those guys up instead.
Where do you guys see Brendan Gooley? He has to be in
third
the starting
defenseman.
He has to be up on the team along with Nelson.
Yeah,
him and Nelson have to be on this team this year.
Absolutely,
and that still leaves
Gooley.
Zach
I think
Bogosian
you can,
as yeah. your seven right now.
Yeah,
which realistically he'll be in your starting six, and Nelson or Gooley would be that
probably
seven
alternate in. Yeah,
but you have to imagine, like we said,
you're wasting
Bogosian's gonna miss time.
Yeah,
it's gonna happen,
and that's why I still think there's another move left.
Yeah.
Because then, say this scenario happens where one of those guys, Scandella, McCabe, Bogosian, get traded. Then that leaves you with Nathan Beaulieu as a guy who could be that seventh defenseman sitting out of games. You have Hunwick, so you don't have to be calling him up right away. You've got Beaulieu to pull right in there. That's why I think the Sabres might not be done before training camp.
So if they move another defenseman? Are you just doing it so there's less defensemen on the roster?
I want both.
Okay.
It allows the opportunity for Gooley and Nelson to continue their development. But also, I nominate McCabe because he's got the most team-friendly contract situation to trade, and he is still serviceable, which allows you to possibly get the best return for him. This is not a I don't like Jake McCabe thing. I think he's a fine top four defenseman, a second pairing defenseman, solid. But if you have this logjam and you want Brendan Gulley to get better and you want him to become the top four second pairing defenseman for you, there might need to be something moved. And you still have offensive depth woes despite what you got from St. Louis.
Yeah.
Your left wing is barren still. Use one of these defenders, get yourself a left winger that can equate into your top six, and everyone wins. McCabe still gets his minutes and gets to flourish in a second pairing without anyone breathing down his neck. And then you have a you make a trade that allows Brendan Gulley to get more of those minutes. Casey Nelson gets more minutes. Nathan Beaulieu can be the seventh defenseman. You don't have to waive him and then possibly lose him on waivers for nothing. You get a top six forward that helps out with the scoring problem.
The biggest problem that they have still.
Yes.
See, I agree with you that I think that would be the move that they
name
should do.
Can change. It could be Bogosian. It could be Scandella. I think it's McCabe.
I think
it
it's
could
Bogosian.
Be Ristolainen.
I think it's Bogosian.
Bogosian, that's a good luck to taking that contract.
Here's the thing. I don't think they're trading Bogosian to try to get something back in the forward range. I think they're trading Bogosian just to get his cap off the book.
But then you're not getting anything for it.
I don't think they want to. I think forward wise they're gonna go into the season with what they have. I think that's what they want to do.
I do like Tage Thompson. I think
Tage
that was
Thompson
a solid prospect.
Is a guy, who
could plug
probably
in the top
fill,
six.
Yes. Because because Eichel is your 1C. Is your first line next going into next season Eichel, Reinhardt, Connor Sherry? Probably.
Yeah.
Probably.
What's line two? Patrick Berglund's probably going to fill in that second spot. Maybe he's with Tage Thompson.
Boy, I'm really not excited to see Berglund and Oposo on the same line. Oh,
I don't think Oposo would be on his line. I think Oposo would be on Mittelstadt's line.
That would make sense then. But then who's your two right wingers? Sobotka?
Sobotka probably.
Do we get the St. Louis line?
No, I'd
for line two?
Yeah,
maybe.
Sure.
I think maybe you're hoping a guy like Bailey or Baptiste makes a jump.
I hate saying
CJ Smith.
And I don't want to sound mean.
And you got CJ Smith, too.
I don't want to sound mean, but I don't expect Justin Bailey or Nick Baptiste to factor in.
I don't. Yeah. If I'm going to
expect one of them to crack the roster this year, it's Baptiste.
I would agree
because
with that.
Justin Bailey is snake.
But as I also just said,
scoring.
Too, CJ Smith. He would be a guy I would expect to. And you have Evan Rodriguez.
Right.
Maybe the second line is Rodriguez, Thompson, Berglund.
I don't hate it. Evan Rodriguez on the second line more than Jason Pominville.
I don't expect the playoffs if I'm putting Evan Rodriguez as my 2C.
No, that's also very true.
I mean, but every team has those kind of players up on higher lines, even if they're not supposed to be there.
But those lines tend to have Eichels or Crosby's,
and that I think you're doing that for more of a balance.
I get that.
Let's say Mittelstadt, Oposo is two guys on your that start out as on the depth chart, your third line, put a guy like CJ Smith in, there's your top nine right there. And you've got guys like Johan Larsson, Jason Pominville, Vladimir Sobotka, Scott Wilson.
I still think this is my last year.
RIP to that fourth line.
And there's five players right there that you can mix and match for a fourth line.
I really hope that
that'll keep guys like Johan Larsson and Zemgus Girgensons' minutes down.
Right.
And that might actually help them.
Right.
Yeah, they should. They would be in the roles that they're meant to play.
Yeah.
I feel like Zemgus Girgensons just needs to sacrifice a small goat.
This is my last year
That man is snake bitten.
Yeah.
He's been whiffing on quality Dude, I want to like you, but come on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've tried to find my silver linings in Girgensons every single year, and I finally think that this is the year it's going
to
work out.
You know what's fun to do? And this happened back on, I think it was Friday. Joe DiBiase decided to look into Who thought Zemgus was going to be the captain by now?
Oh, my goodness.
And he dug up some tweets on Twitter. And they're there.
Oh, man.
They come from one of our own in TJ Luckman. It comes from Joe. It comes from Mike Harrington of the Buffalo News. And the comments under all of them are just as hilarious because they all are in agreement. And now what has happened in 3 years... Oh, no, not 3 years. Like, probably 4 or 5 years from now, from when that happened. 4 years from then. Now Gergensen is a guy that is making us rip our hair out.
Yeah.
Just think about how crazy and how little things can actually come to fruition.
That's what happens when you become a fan favorite.
Yeah. And...
Because guess who else was captain here?
O'Reilly.
O'Reilly wasn't captain.
Oh, he wasn't captain, but for his first 2 years, he was a
another player who was captain here because he was also a fan favorite and because the style is somewhat similar but not fully. Steve Ott.
Well,
right.
He was captain.
I forgot about that.
Remember? Yeah, he was captain.
You know
he
what was even worse than him being captain? Him being first power play.
Yeah.
And that's how you finish last place, kids.
Although, to be fair, he did score in his first game.
That's true.
On the power play.
That's very true.
That's how you get to be a fan favorite.
But it was also on Ilya Brizgalov.
I'm sorry, but the first thing I think of now when I see Steve Ott is that hideous Turdburger jersey reveal.
Oh, my God. Oh, yeah.
See, I think that's of Steve the first the thing you think of. Dodgeball.
That's what I think of when I hear the name Steve Ott is when he's got his back to the camera and that stupid blue on the back with that goofy-looking number on the back of it.
The first thing
and making me want to vomit and be disappointed when I didn't get an all-yellow Sabres jersey.
Yeah.
You know what the first thing I think of when I think of Steve Ott?
I think of that picture.
I think of him trying to lick Jeff Halpern.
He did it before Marchand.
He did.
Oh, God.
He did.
That's our captain.
That was our captain. That was our captain.
That was our last... Oh, no, Gianta.
No, Gianta.
Okay. I was going to say, oh, God, was that our last captain?
No.
No, that was not. It was not. Oh, God. This has been such a terrible show. Not in terms of content necessarily, but like just the cringe-inducing.
Yeah, we started from the disastrous Ottawa Senators to just reliving every horrible Sabres from the last 5 seasons.
This is such a cringeworthy show that I'm going to end it on something a little more lighthearted. Maybe. I don't know. Are the Bills cringeworthy this year? According to the national media, yes.
Oh, boy.
Okay.
It's not my best segue. Frank, you've seen me do better. You've seen me do a lot worse.
I give that one a 4.
That's pretty bad.
I'm being generous.
I know. I said it wasn't good.
Now, we're trying. We're trying.
We're trying here. I mean, come on. I don't get paid to do segues. Hell, we're not getting paid to do this podcast. Sorry, John.
That's okay. I came in expecting quite a large sum of money, but
yeah.
There's coupons out front. I don't know.
There may be some donuts left over from Friday afternoon. I'm not sure.
I highly doubt that.
No, there are. It's just that they have the consistency of a brick and are used more as murder weapons than actual edible donuts. Also, I didn't do anything. What are you talking about, murder weapons?
Paperweights is the phrase.
They're
bludgeoning
tools, okay? You throw them at someone. It actually becomes pretty funny when you actually hear them go, ah! Now, the Bills, John and I were talking about this in the last hour of Sports Talk Saturday. Training camp is getting started.
Yep.
And John brought up the point of what is more exciting than watching a full-blown quarterback competition. Frank, you were with me almost every day that year when it was EJ, Castle, and Tyrod.
Yes.
It was you, me, and Louie, actually.
Louie, yeah. Louie was there.
Three of us.
It was
Jordan.
Yeah.
Jordan Hanskin, from our times back at Buff State.
Yes.
And look at that, 3 Buff Staters coming in. Yeah, college. John, you know about that, but in a little more prestigious place.
Let's not use that word about that institution right now. They got a lot of their own problems going on.
Oh, that's a good point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He says,
got out at the right time.
State jersey.
Here you go.
Shirt, not jersey. I don't ever have any Buff State things. If I did, slap me.
I have one Buff State thing that I wear.
Then I should slap you.
It's a pair of sweatpants that the hockey coach gave me.
That's memorabilia.
Yeah.
That's good stuff.
That's memorabilia, man. And he also gave me a golf polo, too.
That, now that you should be wearing more often. That's some when solid. That's okay.
My comment still stands. So, Frank, this quarterback competition is going to be something else.
It's going to be fun to watch.
And I'm just loving the fact that we get to see that sort of thing again.
Yeah.
Where you're going to see full-blown quarterback quarterback competition. Everyone's going to have their eyes on it. Sorry to the other 87 players that are there, but everyone's looking at three people.
Yeah.
Everyone's going to be looking at the – yeah, especially, you know, with this year.
Everyone's looking at only three people.
It's going to – yeah, it's everyone's looking at that. But I think the other big thing, too, is they're – especially if Allen looks good – The excitement of watching him the next couple years as he's the guy.
And if he becomes the guy now, that makes people go, oh boy, he's ready now, let's go.
Yeah.
12-4.
Okay. I mean, I'm quoting that far.
I'm representing.
But you. I mean, like,
I'm not actually saying it would happen. I'm just saying what people
But I mean
would
say. Like, I'm also talking like the actual relief for fans to go into the season and not have to worry about the quarterback spot.
Yes, that's true.
I mean, yeah, I mean, the last couple of years it was Tyrod, but there was always still the question marks.
All right, ready? I'm just going to round table this to you guys. Who's the guy you expect to see and who's the guy you want to see starting week one for Buffalo? John.
I expect to see AJ McCarron.
Okay.
I would like to see Josh Allen.
All right.
Because, as we've mentioned, I think it would get people the most excited if the Bills aren't going to have any problem getting fans to be interested in their games. That's not a problem.
They just have to be the Bills.
Right. But I think, as I mentioned yesterday on Sports Talk Saturday, this is their guy. You know, Brandon Bean, I'm not calling him Billy today.
Nailed it.
Brandon Bean and Sean McDermott did everything that they could to move up to get their guy, and they see something in him, and if he shows what they see in him right away and they want to start him, that's fine with me. I would like to see what he can do, and I want to see why the Bills brought him here, and I would like to see it right away. I don't feel like waiting. You know, I'm okay with having this exciting quarterback competition one time, and the next however many training camps this is Josh Allen's football team.
All right, Frank.
The only change I will make is I want to see Allen start week one.
Yep.
But I expect Peterman.
Oh, I like it.
You want it? But here's why. AJ McCarron, we kind of know who he is already.
Right.
He's been in the league, this is fifth year in the league now. And yes. All he's ever been was a backup to Andy Dalton.
Who is an average quarterback.
Who is an average quarterback, yes. So I expect to see Nathan Peterman because I want to see him take another step forward.
You think he's taking that next step forward.
Yeah, exactly. And if he has taken another step forward, he's going to challenge McCarron. McCarron right now is slotted in as the QB1. And Peterman's number two, Josh Allen's number three. They're gonna try to shelf Allen as much as they can to make sure he's ready, and that's fair. But obviously, I say I want to see it because with that basically everything that you just said, John. But I expect Peterman because if he's not better than AJ McCarron,
it's time to move on.
Yeah, why is he here
already?
All right,
why is he here?
Yeah, all right then.
You even said yesterday. Yes. Sorry, I didn't mean to cut. Said yesterday you think Peterman. I think you said Peterman has the most to prove out of the three, right?
He's the most polarizing.
Yes, yep. That's what it was. Polarizing.
Because you either love, like people either love him or they hate him. There is no in between Nathan Peterman. People like me that are like, if he wins, he wins. They're rare. People like me that think like that with Nathan Peterman, they're very rare. You have to be balanced and nuanced and kind of stupid. I expect what you said, John. I expect AJ McCarron. He is the odds-on favorite.
Yeah.
Based on the fact that he is the veteran of the room. And I do suspect that he's going to have the better feel of everything. What I want is Nathan Peterman.
Of course it is.
Week 2,
out of left
revenge
field.
Game. Take that, L.A. Give me 4 Peterman touchdowns. Make it rain TDs on the Chargers. Let's go, son.
Phillip Rivers throws 5 interceptions.
Phillip Rivers throws 5 on the Bills. And then Nathan Peterman gets his revenge from last year and tells the national media to suck it.
I'm very much here for that.
That is what I want.
I am all over that. I am all over that.
And on that note, this has been the Leftovers Podcast here on WGR550.com. Thank you, as always, for listening. Thank you, John, for coming in and joining us for this adventure.
Thank you, Derek. Thank you, Frank. I hope to do this again, in the near future.
Definitely
you
will.
As the kids
you
say.
You will. It's quite lit, as the kids say. There you go. It's quite lit. Not as lit as what Nathan Peterman will make the LA Chargers. Frank, we're on vacation, dude.
Yeah, no show Wednesday.
I'm gonna actually pose a question to you.
What's
and John,
that?
You can answer this as well. Should we do a vacation cast?
Ooh.
Yeah.
We could.
We could. We don't get paid for this anyway.
Yeah.
It comes up.
Yeah, but that would also
content.
Mean I'd have to. It would also mean we'd have to.
We'd
bring,
have to talk.
We would have to bring bring equipment.
You have a microphone.
Yeah, I do.
I have a computer.
So I was planning on bringing my computer.
See, we're done.
Okay, fine.
We're done here. Vacation
we might
cast.
Do it. All right, we might do it.
You guys are making moves. I like it.
Making moves.
Showing vacation. The dedication.
Vacation cast from our air conditioned lake house. Probably. Or maybe on the lake.
Yeah, outdoors.
Let's just go sit on a tube and risk your microphone and computer.
Get some good Nat sound in that podcast.
I don't want to do that. If we're doing that, we're using your computer.
Fine, we'll sit on the pier.
If we're doing that, we're using your computer.
We'll big Ziploc bags. Put everything in big Ziploc bags and just sit on the lake.
Let's rent a bubble.
Let's rent a bubble.
And just put it on the lake and record the podcast in that.
There you go.
It's soundproof. It's waterproof. Nothing's going to get damaged. Well, getting out of the bubble would be the task.
Yeah.
With the equipment safe. I'm spitballing here, okay? We're doing a vacation cast. We've settled on this. So expect another podcast on Wednesday. Y'all know how we do this thing. Thank you, as always, for listening. And I've got to say it one more time before I go. This is the second last time I get to say this. Team WGR. We're playing hockey on Thursday, 2 to 6 p.m. at Harbor Center for the 11-day power play. I am excited, nervous, because the last time I tried to play for 4 hours, this guy got to see me laying on the ice knowing that my knee had a problem.
It happened pretty much right in front of me.
It happened right in front of him. Now, Frank's not going to be there on Thursday. He's still going to be on vacation. I get to leave early because I have to play hockey for 4 hours, and I regret nothing.
That's better than a vacation.
It is. Playing hockey? Hells yeah. And I'm one of those really, really weird people. This is on your dad's level of weird here.
Oh,
I like winter, and I like cold.
And he's not that weird.
And what happened this week was probably my innermost circle of hell.
Oh, God, yeah.
It was really hot.
So I get to play hockey at an ice rink for 4 straight hours. That's probably the best thing I'm going to be able to do. And I got some cellies planned out. I've got my helmet. I've been scribbling all over it with names of people that I'm dedicating the game to. And it's going to be fun. I hope to see you guys out there. We've got not just the likes of my derpiness, but we've got the now departed Ryan Gates. We've got Brian Mazurowski from WBEN. Joe DiBiase's on the team. We got Bulldog, dude. We got Bulldog. You try skating past Bulldog.
And you got Bulldog Jr. in net.
And we've got Owen playing in net. We're a team built from the net
Owen's
out.
The reason why I'm not playing, which is completely fair because Owen's also
you
really
already
good.
Played for
yes.
4 hours.
I've also done it.
And you hated your life that day. Coming from someone that ended up with a sprained knee, I think you hated your life the most that day.
You also had to see someone have sprained their knee.
Yes.
He laughed at me. He laughed. I know what he's about.
Well, I was like, ooh. I was more like, ooh, that must have hurt.
Yeah. As I'm just laying there.
I've also
this isn't good.
I've also seen worse.
Yeah. So
like
no.
We don't have to talk about it right
and
now.
And then we also have our program director, Alan Davis. He may or may not be healthy enough to play, but he will be there on the bench as well. Am I missing anyone? I feel like I'm missing someone.
Brayton.
And TJ. And Jafari.
Mike Jafari.
Yes, we got Brayton Wilson, TJ Luckman, Mike Jafari, Jeremy White. White's playing with us as well. I forgot a lot of people there. Good thing I recognized that I forgot so many people there. And then you reminded me just who I was forgetting. But we're going to be out there at Harbor Center. You should show up, have a good time, support the cause, donate. You can go to 11daypowerplay.com. And you can find Team WGR, and you can donate to our page, donate to the cause. It goes to cancer research at Roswell Park, Camp Good Days, Make-A-Wish Western New York. So not just for cancer research, but also for programs for people and families that are dealing with this disease. So go out there, watch us play terrible hockey as critics of hockey. That's even the best part. We get paid to talk about that stuff, and we're going to look so much worse. That's just soak in that deliciousness, too, if you want to. And then just hit the wino line up and go, how do you guys get to even have the right? Look at that. I'm giving people ideas, too. I'm an idea man. That's how it goes. Thank you for listening. And as the kids say, do a kickflip.
How We Met Your Mother is the How I Met Your Mother rewatch podcast with me, Josh Radner, and series co-creator Craig Thomas. Follow How We Met Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.